You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 26th, 2021. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. And joining us for episode number two here is our resident betting expert, or one of our resident betting experts, I should say, Anthony DeBundo. I want to go back. First of all, how are you doing? You know, we took a 2-minute break there. You're still hanging in, down for another episode here?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a lot of anger to vent here about this scheduling, criticism that I
snafu. Yeah. So
it's been a running gag.
It has
been the subject of some Twitter criticism.
It has been.
I'd like to sound off now.
Okay,
I need to air some grievances. It may not be December 20th.
Festivus is 2 months away, a little less than 2 months away here, but we'll certainly let you air grievances nonetheless. So, it was a running gag. You're right. We had you on in July. You were telling me why the Phillies would be a good pick, and telling the listeners why the Phillies would be a good pick in the betting arena to pick them to win the NL East, make the playoffs because of their remaining schedule. I don't need to rehash it for you. You know that I think right after that, they lost 2 of 3 in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. They got swept in Arizona. They lost 3 of 4 to Colorado. And taking care of business against bad teams was something that it felt like when times got most critical, they failed to do often, not always, but often all season long. This is your chance to sound off, explain. First of all, I'll ask this. Were you pleased with how they took care of business against bad teams or relative to their schedule this season? And why do you feel that the criticism was so unfair?
Well, I think the offense hit better in the first half of the season. I'm not a soothsayer. I can't predict how certain hitters will do. But the fact that the lineup was in the bottom half of baseball in the second half of the season, despite Bryce Harper having one of the greatest runs in the history of the National League in August, September, in July, despite that, this lineup was below average. In the first half of the season, Realmuto was hitting better. They had Rhys Hoskins to help support Harper. Harper was still putting up solid numbers. Segura was better in the first half of the season. McCutchen had a really slow start, but then was red hot in June and July before cooling off again. This lineup is what cost them the division. But I want to get into the schedule because the argument about the schedule is not, okay, that they're just going to mop the floor with all these bad teams and automatically make the playoffs. The argument to schedule is that your odds are better. And they absolutely were, in the sense that, let's say the Padres don't blow that game, that famed Saturday night double collapse they had. The Phillies would have been playing for first place in the final week of the year. The Mets completely collapsed under the weight of their very hard schedule. They had a 2-11 stretch against the Giants and Dodgers in July. They completely collapsed, which was what I said on the show. I did not think Atlanta would get as hot as they did. But if you look at Atlanta, they took advantage of a very favorable schedule that included a lot of games with Miami, Washington, and Colorado in the second half, and were able to really make their run off of that. And of course, the Phillies had that famous series in Arizona that everybody remembers, when they strung together like 8 total hits and like 4 total runs and could not produce. And that was really the season. They lost 3 out of 4 with Colorado. But if you go back and look at those games against a terrible Rockies pitching staff who had won 10 games on the road all year, they couldn't hit. And so the lineup proved to be the downfall. That's really how you beat the bad teams. I mean, you want to you want to be able to put up enough runs so that these bad offenses can't keep up with you. Whereas if you're in a close game in baseball, anything can happen in one inning and one at bat and one pitch that can swing it. And so there were some frustrating losses, but we also have to remember that if the Phillies played the way they did in the second half of the season against a better schedule, they would have gotten pasted. So that also has to be considered. And it is what happened when they played Atlanta, lost all three games. They played Milwaukee, lost 2 out of 3. So, you know, it wasn't like they were beating good teams. They lost 2 out of 3 of the Dodgers both times. So, you know, the good teams they played in the second half, they didn't beat either. So it really came down to, you know, we had a tough schedule. We had an easy schedule. The Phillies had an easy schedule, and they had their chance to take advantage of it. In some spots, they did. Took 3 out of 4 from Arizona at home. Took 3 out of 4 from Pittsburgh. 2 out of 3 from Baltimore. Did the job in some cases. And in others, they completely failed.
Okay, so I was going to say, would you agree that overall, they were disappointing against the schedule they had remaining?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
They underperformed. I mean, you know, going into the last week of the year, if you had told me that would they finish 8, so they were 81 and 77 going into that Braves series, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So 81 and 77 with 6 games to go. You know, I predicted 85 wins at the beginning of the year. You know, obviously the last series in Miami gets a little bit skewed because of the, you know, the pitching situation, and, you know, they were laying down at that point. Season was over. But to say, okay, if they can't win 2 out of 3 against Atlanta and Miami and get to 85 and play 8 games over 500, despite hitting much worse in the second half, that's a very different conversation. So, you know, even if you factor in them getting swept by Atlanta, going into the final weekend, they were 3 games above 500 in the second half of the season, despite playing worse than they did in the first half at the plate, and managing to turn it around. So they, you know, they were better in the second half of the season.
They were better, just not good enough. Like, I did
better record wise. I don't think they played that much better.
No, look, I'm not trying to say that in the long, like, okay, would you rather play a better team or a worse team? Obviously it's a worse team. I was just never confident in the fact that that easy schedule, and tell me if you agree with this or not, you know, from a statistics betting angle, whatever you want to give me here, that in general, I feel like we talk about like easiness of schedule or easiness of playoff matchups or whatever you want to say in sports like football and basketball, where, again, I would guess, I don't have the numbers to back this up, the variance is lower. Like in football, you look at the strength of schedule down this stretch and say, all right, it's about two things, about who you're playing, when you're playing them, what those other teams' injuries are. Baseball, there's a larger sample size, but in any given game, there's a higher variance, no?
Right. I mean, the best teams in baseball only win 63% of their games, right?
So, you
know, and the best teams in football, you know, are going to win 13 or 14 of their 17 games. That's damn near, you know, it's over 75% of their games. So, yes, in a single game sense, there is more variance in baseball because it's a lower scoring sport. It's a sample size sport. It's prone to, you know, lots of swings on one or two pitches here and there. Whereas football, of course, there are plays that swing games, of course, and football still has a lot of variance too because the sample size is so small.
The better team wins more often.
The better team wins more often in football than they do in baseball, absolutely.
Which is why I kind of rolled my eyes at the whole like strength of schedule thing. It's like, all right, they got easy teams. First of all, I didn't buy the Phillies as being quote unquote that good anyway. I thought they were, you know, my whole even Steven bit, I thought they were mediocre. They finished one win above that anyway. And even more so, and tell me if you agree with this point, as I've been watching the postseason, Anthony, these teams are just like head and shoulders better than the Phillies. No?
Certainly with the lineups they're putting out are much better than the lineups the Phillies are putting out. I mean, the Dodgers, the four teams that made the LCS can hit 1-7. The Phillies hit 1-4 sometimes.
Sometimes. And sometimes they hit like 3-3.
Sometimes they hit like 3-5.
Yeah.
So, you know, losing Hoskins hurts, but again, the Braves lost Acuna. The Dodgers lost Muncy. The Astros lost McCullers. So every team is going to have injuries. And the Astros are in the World Series despite not having their best pitcher. And the Braves are in the World Series despite not having their best hitter. So, you know, you can't make that as an excuse. That's comes down to organizational failure, though. I mean, the Astros have guys like Jose Urquidy and Framber Valdez, who are very young and improving, whereas the Phillies have no one. I mean, Ranger Suarez was a great emergence, but they have no one else. You know, they're struggling to find guys to start games. And that's just organizational failure. The Braves they didn't have a ton in their organization, so they went out and made moves at the deadline. So that's really the biggest difference. And the schedule conversation, you know, next year, the Phillies open.
With the Astros.
With the Astros, who are more likely than not going to be the World Series champs. So they will not have an easy schedule to begin the 2022 season. So that will be very tough. Tough series in
Houston. Already in the hole. We're already in the hole in 2022.
Then maybe they'll get him championship hangover. They'll probably be putting up the flag or whatever.
That's if we have opening day normally in 2022. Right,
which, of course, labor negotiations. If I were a betting man, I would bet against.
Well, you're definitely a betting man. Yes.
62 game season. So.
So, like, can you bet on that? Like, are sportsbooks allowing bets?
They are
on-
not. I'm guessing there will be some offshores that offer props on it. I'll be fascinated to see what those odds are. I am fascinated for the labor discussions to happen. I think they're really bad for the sport. I think it's going to be terrible for the sport if it's not ready to go on opening day, especially after what I think was a really, really, really good year for baseball, from top to bottom, with new guys emerging from different backgrounds who have all kinds of star power and who are amazing. And then you even have guys like Harper making kind of like a renaissance. And so, you know, I think it was a great year for baseball, and they lose all of that momentum if there isn't a season next year, if there isn't a season for opening day next year.
We're going to continue the overall baseball discussion as well. I want to get more into that variance thing and predicting, you know, what the Phillies can expect from players who either broke out or slumped this season, kind of the reversion to the mean idea coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and finally, a great way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content, it varies by package. And I also have to tell you about Get Upside. Hey, Phillies fans, this is Dan Wilson with an incredible app for everyone who buys gas, and you need to know about it. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every single time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL for that 25% bonus per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back, rather. Don't pay full price at that pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL for up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 per month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL for 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL for up to 50 cents per time you fill up cash back. We have a few other things to hash out here before our time is up. 2 segments left remaining with Anthony DeBundo. I will ask one follow-up question on the baseball labor disputes before we get into kind of back to this Phillies discussion. You mentioned it being, you know, a good year for baseball. I have some thoughts on this, but just really quickly, why, in your opinion?
I think that the sport needs to do a better job of embracing its star power.
And this has been issue forever. Yeah, it feels
been
like
an issue forever. And granted, you know, when the best player in the sport, Mike Trout, is a pretty reserved, not a high profile guy, that definitely doesn't help. But you know, the new guys that are emerging, like Fernando Tatis, like Shohei Ohtani, the renaissance of Bryce Harper, all of these things contribute to a more fun league. I also think, generally speaking, it felt like there was more parity this year with, you know, teams like the Blue Jays rising, the teams like the Mariners making a run. There was drama to the final day, which makes for a better MLB season. The pace of play stuff is whatever. I don't necessarily think that factors that much into it. Baseball will always have its problems with the lack of balls in play, which pretty much stayed flat. You know, old timers may not like certain things about it. The new generation may not like how slow it is. They're always going to have these certain problems. But I think, and if you look at some of the ratings from, you know, the Yankees-Red Sox wildcard game, for example, the other playoff ratings have been very good. Now, having big market teams in it helps, but granted, they've been very good and you can't deny that. And embracing these guys like Wander Franco and Randy Rosarena and all the young talent across the league that has so much more flair, I think, than the generation before them makes for a better league.
That's for sure. And I was going to say the ratings from at least much of the season were up this year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, it did well. Like the whole idea, I never bought the idea that it's like, you know, a dying sport. I think maybe it's a sport that needs to evolve a little bit better. Just really quickly following up on the future of baseball, we've heard some rumors and almost some near promises as we enter these labor disputes of rules that will and will not come back in terms of overall, you know, importance to the sport. I know we once got into an argument. We were literally sitting at a Phillies game together and argued about the 7-inning doubleheader as well as the future of the DH and the 3-batter minimum. What do you like? What do you not like? And forget what you like what is actually better for the sport? Because I acknowledge what I prefer is not always necessarily better.
Well, you're an old timer. You know, you like the DH or you like the
pitcher. No, I like National League baseball. Yeah.
You like the, that's right. You like the National League pitchers hitting. I do not. I think that it is beyond ridiculous that the leagues play by different rules.
So to be clear, I'm with you on that. I prefer National League Baseball to American League Baseball, but I don't like that, for instance, the most important games this year in the World Series, Game 1 in Houston, Atlanta is going to be playing 2 games in their most important games of the season thus far by rules they haven't played with the exception of 10 games all season. And then for the 3 middle games, the same is going to apply to Houston. It's even a bigger disadvantage for them. The pitchers haven't hit all year, and now they have to. So just want that on the record.
I'm fine with the runner on second. I know many people are not. I think it's better for the pitching staffs to not be completely taxed playing these really long extra inning games. I think that speeds up or at least shortens the number of innings required to get through a game. As a bettor, I don't like it because I've had so many unders die in extra innings because of this new rule. So, you know, that I can live with to what I think improves the sport. It's an extra inning game. There's 162 games in a season. You do not need regular innings. You can do the extra inning rule. I'm fine with it. I would be fine with the compromise that, you know, maybe you play one regular inning or two and then you switch in the 12th to a, you know, I'm okay with compromise. I'm not steadfast in that position. I am fine with a 3-batter rule because I am tired of one out pitching change, one out pitching change. I do not like that. I think there's already enough pitchers in baseball. Does it really lower it? No, but it definitely lowers the ceiling of numbers of pitchers you can use in a game, which I think is good. So I'm fine with the 3-batter rule. I want the DH to be implemented, not just because I think it helps the Phillies, who have issues with their fielding in multiple positions, notably first base, third base.
Definitely, that's for damn sure. It definitely is advantageous to the Phillies to get this.
Bats, but, you know, that being said, they can definitely...
they have a few guys who cannot field, to say the least.
Yeah, have to field. And I think that's going to be the long-term status of Bryce Harper as he ages. But... you know, I'm okay.
7-inning doubleheader is the one
I'm fine with that too. Like, why? Anytime the Phillies had a 7-inning doubleheader this year, and I know we went to multiple of the games, I couldn't wait because I get to see 2 games. I'm not committing 7 hours of my day to baseball, and I can watch 2 games. And again, it's 162. One game is not that important, and I understand the
when divisions get decided by singular game sometimes and every game holds the same weight. We don't see any other sport in North American sports, or maybe tell me in a more global sense, where games within the same season that hold the same weight have rules change based upon just what day it is.
I think if you want to look, shortening to 7-inning doubleheaders, adding the extra guy on base, it's just cheap ways around of not shortening the season, which is not going to happen.
But the extra guy on base.
But up to me, the MLB season would be shorter, right? It would be 120, 30 games.
They're not going to do it because of money. And yeah, I get it.
That because of money. So let's find a middle ground.
Okay.
When there's a doubleheader, we can play 7 innings. Those games, now granted, some of them that were during the day, okay, maybe not great attendance at the start because people have to work. But by the 4th or 5th inning, people were showing up. You got the end of the first game, and then it rolls right into a nice little 7-inning game. I attended, I think it was 3 doubleheaders this year, enjoyed every second of every one. Almost every game was competitive. And the Phillies, they were, I think, 500 in them. But it was still worth it. And you know, you can claim competitive advantages, but everybody's playing doubleheaders and it's pretty random who's going to get more in 1 year or not.
Oh, it is random.
Obviously, it's random. So,
why should a 7-inning win hold the same weight as a 9-inning win?
Do you think a team has a marketed advantage over 7 innings over 9 innings?
I think they could.
They could, but there's no evidence of that.
But okay, if a team had and I know this was like the argument in 2020, it actually backfired, did not favor in the Phillies. If you had a worse bullpen, yeah, over the course of time, if you played enough of these, would you not argue that a team with better starting pitching and a worse bullpen versus a team with, say, a better bullpen and worse starting pitching, or whatever you want to say it as, it's easier to bullpen those games also, less innings. But would you not say that the team with the worst bullpen would be getting off the hook?
Potentially, but again, like you said, you can bullpen the games. It's much easier to bullpen them. So a team that has a good bullpen can bullpen the game and have a
pitch. Why are we shortening some games? Like, I know why, because it's 2 days and it's more appealing to fans.
We're trying to limit injuries. We're trying to save pitchers' arms, which are becoming more and more of an issue as every guy throws 97. And we're trying to make the games more enjoyable. I love baseball. 18 innings in one day is a lot. 14, a lot better.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we'll just agree to disagree on the whole.
You're more of a purist than I am, and that's always going to be the case. That's why you like the that's why you don't like the DH. That's why you don't like the man on second.
To be fair, I don't hate the man on second. I want to make, because it's the same rule throughout the season, and to me, it's the same as like the shootout in hockey. It's a regular season rule, doesn't carry to the postseason. But all those regular season games had the same rules going in. I don't like the fact that you could turn on a regular season game and literally say, well, I don't know how long this game is because I forget if they played a game earlier today or not. Like, that to me is ridiculous.
You need to follow the team more closely then.
Not the Phillies. I'm talking about if you're like just going for random games and you're like, you get what I'm saying. Like, you should know it's 9 innings every time.
That's a fair argument. And then I just care more about
I hear
entertainment, pitching. Well, all those things.
Speaking of variants, we're going to get into the variants of those specific Phillies players. We're going to reel in this argument for the final segment with Anthony DeBundo coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar. Do you know Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, well, you are certainly missing out. Coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My personal favorite, definitely the cookies and cream. But if you haven't tried all the flavors by now, you can get that mix box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy as well. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy as well. Go to Built.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order of Built Bars. One last time, LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. And I also have to tell you about RockAuto.com. This episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. RockAuto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com. All right. Mr. Anthony DeBundo, Mr. Variance, Mr. Break It Down for us, what we can expect in the year 2022. We talked about a few guys in this episode and a few guys we haven't even talked about, whether it's Ranger Suarez, who had a breakout season in the year 2021. You would expect he probably declines a little bit in the year 2022. Aaron Nola had a down year, but I know certain things like his career numbers as well as his FIP probably suggest that he's going to improve in the year 2022. Bryce Harper had an MVP season, just difficult for anyone to keep that kind of, you know, production up. Who in the year 2022 can we expect better from, worse from, and about the same from for the Phillies? Give us just a few few notables in your opinion.
Number one is Aaron Nola, without a doubt. And look, he made a lot of bad pitches with two outs. He made a lot of bad pitches with two strikes.
A lot of bad pitches with runners on base, getting out of jams.
A lot of bad, right, absolutely. He had the lowest strand rate, second lowest strand rate in the National League. He had pretty much career above average or in line with his regular numbers. Some were even better in terms of strikeouts and walks. So the balls that were put in play were finding more holes than usual. They were, you know, the Phillies defense has never been good, so you can't really say, oh, it was the defense. The hard hit rate was a little bit up, but not noticeable. The strikeouts were down from last year, but up from his years past. His walks were at a career low. So his velo was fine. Everything you look at in a pitcher to try to project how he's going to do going forward for Aaron Nola is completely fine. And I have no reason to expect that he will not be an excellent pitcher. And back to closer to what we saw in 2019 and 2020 in 2022. So Nola's velocity was fine. His command was fine. Usually it was just a few pitches here and there. And it definitely was a mental thing by the end of the year. You could question, you know, how the games were being called. He missed some spots. Fine. But the mechanics that go into making him what he is are still respectable and good enough. Same with, you know, Zach Wheeler, who, you know, is he going to be a Cy Young candidate again? Why not? Wheeler has excellent stuff. He has excellent command. He's in his prime age, you know, going to be in his 31, 32 year next year. That tends to be pretty close to a pitcher's prime. The only big question is he logged a lot of innings this year. So how does he manage that? That's a big question. Zach Eflin coming off injury, I think he should be the consistent, you know, number three starter that he's been his entire career. Ranger Suarez will drop off a little bit, but he has room to fall and still be a very effective starting pitcher. So I think that's important to note. Suarez is a guy who many criticized moving him to the rotation. I was a big fan of doing it. It paid off for the Phillies, almost got them into the playoffs. Suarez will not post a 1.36 ERA next year. But even if he's a 3 ERA guy, which I think he absolutely can be, that's what he was in 2019 in 48 innings. If he's a 3 ERA guy who can give you 5-6 innings a start, sign him up. He's your 4 guy. And then you're looking at Kyle Gibson as your 5th starter. I mean, that's the best rotation in the National League East. And so one that can win you some ball games. In terms of the hitting, less optimism. Gregorius might be cooked. I mean, he's over 32 now. He had 2 good years. A bad year in 2019 with the Yankees. He had a good stretch in 2020, but remember it was 60 games. So what does his good year in 2020 really mean? Not much to me. Jose Altuve had a 79 OPS plus in 2020. Don't think that's continued. So, you know, everything that happened in 2020, you cannot let cloud your opinions of players. And the same, I guess, technically goes for Alec Boehm, but Boehm being a blue chip hitting prospect who's hit at every level of minor leagues and college, and hit in his first year in the big leagues, I'm expecting him to improve. McCutchen looks cooked. And I know that was a big subject of our conversations.
Some call them washed in April. Yeah.
And I don't think you were that far off with a lot of things. You know, define washed. He can still hit at a decent clip, but he can't play the field. And I'd be very surprised if he was a Philly in 2022.
Final question. I'll get your final Phillies question. I should say I'll get you out of here on, which is that as some say it's not a real Locked On Phillies episode. If the manager Joe Girardi doesn't come up, how much variance do we see? How much did the variance in this season contribute to his moves looking dumb? How much of it was him? And do we see that improve in the year 2022, or is this what we have in the manager?
Does anybody like their manager in baseball?
I think the Astros fans would probably like Dusty Baker right now. I would think the Braves fans Brian Snitker right now.
They probably do. That is true. It just feels like, you know, and the managers never get any credit. They only get criticism unless your team wins. And the team winning usually has less to do with the manager and more to do with the players. Like Brian Snitker did not trade for Eddie Rosario at the trade deadline.
No, but how much would you give credit?
Dusty Baker did not refine the form of Jose Altuve or turn Kyle Tucker into this great hitter. And look, I love Dusty Baker. I think he's a great manager. I think he's a legend of the sport, and I really am rooting for them to win the World Series. I have been pretty quietly all year. I've been anti.
You're big on the anti Astros.
I'm anti Astros. Yes, I've always felt that way. And so I think they are going to win, but you know, Kevin Cash, who I think is one of the best managers in baseball, makes one decision, it backfires, and people still hate him for it.
Well, I agree. That's ridiculous. I think Kevin Cash is one of the best in the game.
And you know, there are worse managers than Joe Girardi. There are better managers than Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi was not the reason the Phillies missed the playoffs. If they make the playoffs next year, it won't be because of him. It won't be in spite of him if they miss. I think what the analytics have told us is that managers aren't worth that much. And pushing the right buttons matters. And Girardi made some awful decisions with, I think the bullpen was the main criticism. You've been all over the Neftali Feliz appearance.
Well, that was just, if you can find me a worse managerial decision, like ever, like, please show it to me.
The lineup card one was worse. That was worse.
It's also on the bracket. You know
what? I know. Yeah. And I thought the not realizing he made his second mound visit was worse.
That was brutal. Also, like, what are we doing here, Joe?
Those things are like basic managerial stuff.
One would think.
A guy and he stinks. Okay, maybe you shouldn't have brought the guy in, but he still threw the pitch that got hammered by Castellanos. So,
but he also hadn't pitched in 4 years.
Right. Again, fair.
Like, I know this is an extreme, but if you put me in the game there and I allow a home run to Castellanos, like, it's not my fault for throwing the pitch.
He still gave up the homer, but it's
the guy hadn't pitched since the Obama administration. I mean, what are we doing here?
That's true. Yes. I guess 2016,
it might've been 17, but what? Okay. Close to it. Like, yes. What are we doing here?
Yeah. And so look, Girardi's fine. Again, I don't think Gabe Kapler's getting this team in the playoffs.
I agree, but I think we also proved that Gabe Kapler's a good manager this year.
Better manager than Joe Girardi, sure. Yeah, that's fair.
I'm disappointed.
So, Girardi will be back for 2022. He seems like a nice enough guy, you know, whatever. Hopefully he doesn't botch the bullpen situation. I thought he did a decent job second half of the season managing the bullpen a little better.
Remember when he was double switch happy for 2 months? He thought that was like a rule. You had to do that.
Jankowski. Well, you know what? He had never managed in the National League before.
No, I know. He was just exploring like.
We get to do double switches now, and I'm going to do it every night. And Jankowski hitting leadoff in the one game against Atlanta. I think it was in July, so it might have been before the deadline. That was horrendous. But, you know, there were other situations. But over the course of 162, I think he was a net neutral. So just not. Don't really.
I know you're not on it.
I direct my qualms further up the food chain.
Well, I do too. To be clear,
everybody should.
To be yes, I don't want anyone to ever think, and I put that disclaimer when I had the the bracketology episode for the Joe Girardi bracket. That this is just a fun podcast thing because I found myself frustrated with him so many times that I said you could literally make a bracket about it out on a whim, and I'm kind of going through with that. A little bit sarcastic promise, but the real problems exist above Joe Girardi. The real problems existed before Joe Girardi even got here. And even if they got Joe Girardi, they would very much continue to exist. So I'm 100% on board with you there. I said final Phillies question because I have to, I know we are both big, we kind of mentioned our relationship goes way back. One thing that we're both big on are these shows, Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you watched the new Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I have not. Okay. I'm on Succession right now. I'm getting caught up there.
Okay.
And I'm going to get caught up on Succession and then I will get to the new Curb. So I have to get caught up there.
All right. Well, I won't give you any spoilers then, but I would have been happy to discuss and just told any listeners who have not yet watched it to close their ears, but now you don't have to worry about that.
I do have to ask, Netflix, Seinfeld fans have been criticizing Netflix because of the change in the picture and how it's not 4:3 and how Seinfeld was built to be in 4:3 and now it's being, blown up into HD. What are your thoughts on that and kind of the picture change controversy with Netflix?
So I will admit, I have not yet watched Seinfeld on Netflix. Like, I've seen every episode 1,000 times. I watched a little bit when it was on Hulu. For once I decided to watch some new shows. Not that I've I don't watch actually TV a ton, like the way people just like binge shows and like, yeah, I watched season one of this last night. Like, I never find myself with just like that much time to kill. Like, I'll usually at night I'm watching sports or whatever the other case might be. Curb is just, there was one episode new the other night. It's at the top of the pecking order always. So I had to watch that, but I don't have an educated enough take on what Seinfeld looks like on Netflix because the only thing I've seen is the trailer and I think like a few minutes of one that was just on the other day. I have so many of them in my DVR from over the years that I just mostly kind of burn through them over and over and over again that way. So that's my take on that. But Anthony DeBundo, always fun. True or false, I hear, will you also be joining us for the Locked On Phillies Roundtable?
I will.
I'm looking forward to that and a little bit of tease for that. The Locked On Phillies Roundtable with Anthony DeBundo and a full lineup of other esteemed guests and friends of the podcast. So that is coming right up, actually, later tonight. We will be recording that. And also want to remind you that betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.